You can see from our bulletin that our gospel lesson this morning comes from the third chapter of Matthew's gospel, verses 13 through 17. This is a lectionary reading for this Baptism of the Lord Sunday, and although these may be very familiar words to just about everybody here, maybe to everybody here, hear them again for the first time. What are they saying? What is going on in this story, and how does it pertain to us at this particular point on our journeys of faith? Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. As you know, last Sunday we gathered in this room to celebrate the new year. It was January 1. Now the question I have for you is, what year are we in? What year is this? It's not a trick question. The other two services got it right off the bat. What is it? Ah, 2023. That's it. It was not a trick question. Y'all are not as sharp as the other. Anyway, but it really went beyond that, don't you think? It's, you know, if it was 2023, last year was 2022, and I don't know what one before that was, maybe 2021. But anyway, it's not just the numbers. It's the letters we put after the numbers, as you know. AD is in year of our Lord. All right. You see, as I suggested last week, that's important to remember because as we celebrate a new year, we're having a religious celebration. 2023 AD. All right. Last week, we talked about ordering our lives. And we order them, we order our time theologically. You may never have thought about that. That's what we're saying every time we say the year. So a new year is more than just an astronomical occurrence for us. You know, it's understood to be a significant time of rebirth, a time of renewal. It's, as I like to say, it's calendrical absolution. Now, I don't know if I coined that term. I can't imagine I'm that sharp. But someone did. Calendrical absolution, a new year. All right. That's the foundation of the whole resolution process, isn't it? We get the sense that we are afforded the opportunity to start again, permission to begin a new, or proceed down a new path. You know, last week I polled you. Those of you who are here, we had a good turnout last week for the first day of the year. And as I polled you, I said, how many of you have made New Year's resolutions? And I probably about a third, maybe not the majority, but a number of you had made such resolutions. And so, and theologically then, speaking at the heart of those resolutions is the idea of grace, the idea of forgiveness, the idea of recreation. It's sacred stuff. You know, the hope, of course, is this, that this new year will lead us into new and sustainable ways of living. That's what we're hoping. 2023 AD. Okay, so we start the new year with a sense of what could be. You know, possibilities that are out there waiting for us. Where will we go this new year? How will our lives unfold? How should they unfold? And we like that. We like that newness. And that works for us. And it works for us liturgically. You see, the scripture text for last week, for Epiphany Sunday, was from the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter of Matthew's Gospel, the story of the Magi. And we read it every year. The kids love to talk about the king's coming and the star, and we always sing "We Three Kings" every single year. But we don't tend to stop and think about that story so much, that these magi, again, they come from a long way away. They come from a foreign land. They come seeking something. They've seen a sign, and they come seeking this newborn king, this one who's anointed, this Christ. And as they come, they find the baby Jesus. They lay before him gold and frankincense and myrrh. Okay, very, very good. They're symbolic, of course. These gifts are symbolic of what the best the world has to offer. You know, here are our lives. You have them. Do with these gifts as you see fit. And it picks up on Isaiah's vision from many centuries earlier. And you remember when Isaiah is talking about the restorative power of God's grace. It's from the 60th chapter of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. And again, it's a return from Babylonian captivity and this new vision of what could be. And we read it. It was the Old Testament lesson for us that day. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. The abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Okay, with that beautiful and ancient vision in our mind, I offer this for your New Year's consideration. If you make resolutions, if you consciously use the new year as a time to begin again, then you're doing the exact same thing the Magi did. That's what you're doing. You're consciously saying, here's my life. Here is my life. I'm laying it before you. I'm going to give you the best of what I have to offer. And the best of what I have to offer in 2023 is going to be this. And then you lay it out. As I said last week, this conscious decision to go in a different direction in our lives is not about changing who we are. That's what really stops life. I can't change it. I can't do that. No, it's not about changing. It's about remembering who you are. It's always about that. Now let that sink in for a minute. In other words, we don't really need to make a list. You know, we don't really need to make all these resolutions. No, we just need to remember. Just remember who you are. And when you remember, everything else will follow from that. Okay, last week was Epiphany Sunday. Today's Baptism of the Lord Sunday. Now, the two are very closely linked. Traditionally, in the Western Church, of which we are a part, that which is traditionally comes out of Rome, the focus of Epiphany, of God's manifestation in Christ, is symbolized best in the arrival of the Magi. But in the Eastern Church, the Orthodox Church, the focus is on the baptism of Jesus. Okay. It's all about identity. That's what ties these two texts together. You know, so the baptism of Jesus is not just some event we're remembering today. Oh, yeah, Jesus was baptized in the Jordan by John 2,000 years ago. No. It's deeper than that. Well, let me read it for you again. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son." It's about identity. Jesus' identity, and that's beautiful in itself. That's who we follow. That's whose life gives direction to our lives. But its significance goes deeper than that. Paul puts it this way. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. Now you are the body of Christ, he says. You see, it's not just about Jesus' identity and Jesus' ministry. It's about our identity and our ministry. The epistle that we call James, it's attributed to the brother of Jesus, the leader of the early church in Jerusalem. And the epistle of James has been given a hard time by many in the Protestant tradition, but it's a beautiful book that has these words of wisdom for us. Let me share these with you. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they're like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they are like. Epiphany, specifically baptism of the Lord Sunday, is about remembering. Remember what we are like, who we are. Now, I would expect that many of us, not all of us, but many of us in this room have been baptized at some point in our lives. We've been baptized into what we call the body of Christ. Now, maybe we were infants. Maybe it was when we made a public profession of our faith. In the United Methodist Church, we baptize people of all ages. And we understand baptism to be a sacrament. And by that we mean it's a way through which God's grace is imparted to the recipient. We don't understand it purely as a subjective act that is dependent upon our comprehension. No. Because in reality, who's able to comprehend that is about the magnitude of God's grace? No one. Baptism is an initiation into the body of Christ. It's an outward and physical sign of an inward and spiritual grace that connects us to God, to the ground of our existence. Okay, it's one of the greatest mysteries of our faith. Now, Paul says this, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's no longer Jew or Greek. There's no longer slave nor free. There's no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ. Friends, the goal of the season of Epiphany is remembrance. Remembrance. Remember who we are as members of the community called the body of Christ. We have been baptized. We have been christened or Christ-named. We have been incorporated into a community that identifies with and then attempts to live out the story of Jesus. We attempt to make that story manifest in and through our lives. You know, centuries ago, Christians, especially those in the Anglican tradition, of which Methodism is a part, began using the new year as a time to encourage individuals to re-examine their lives of faith and then offer them a time of reaffirmation, you know, a time of recommitment to God and to the church. So in a few minutes, we're going to continue that ancient tradition by holding a service of baptismal renewal. Now, if you've been here more than 11 months, then you've been through this with us. We do it every year. In a few minutes, you'll be invited, and whoever wishes to do so, just at your own direction, if you choose to come forward, there are shells and some river rock in the baptismal font there. And what you're invited to do, you're invited to come forward at your own direction and receive one of those objects that will be wet to remind you of your baptism. And the idea behind this is it's symbolic of who you are. And when you go home today, you are invited to place that object somewhere in your house that you will see on a daily basis, hopefully by a door that you use. And the idea then is every day as you leave that place, you see that stone, and that affects everything you do. You're reminded that you are a child of God, and everybody you're going to encounter that day is a child of God. And you're going to treat them as such. Then you come home. Next day you go out again. So at that point in the service, I invite you to come forward and receive that stone or that shell and remember. All right, that's our defining story. The story that we have put on Christ. It'll affect everything you say, everything that you do. A few years back, Alana found this resolution online. Someone had posted this online just randomly, anonymously, I think. And I shared it with you before. But it's just a great resolution. It's humorous, but it also gets to the point of this day. So let me share this resolution. This year, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to hang out with sinners. I want to upset religious people. I want to tell stories that make people think. I want to choose unpopular friends. I want to be kind, loving, and merciful. And I want to take naps on boats. That's it. The beauty of our story is the fact that we get to live into it. We need to get to do these things. It's a process. And for whatever reason, January 1 seems to be a good time to remember that. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. So this, once again for us, is a year of our Lord. I want to close with a prayer. It's a prayer that was written by Reverend John Killinger. Now, John Killinger was a Presbyterian pastor in Virginia and written a number of books. And this sums up this new year for us. So I invite you to hear the words of this prayer. We've come to the final page of the book, O God, for the year that is past. It is now too late to change the plot or alter the fate of the characters. We can only offer the year to you and ask your blessings upon it. Accept all the good things that happened in it, the kind intentions, the generous acts, the signs of love, and forgive all the bad things, the selfishness, the wrangling, the ugly remarks, the hurtful behavior. We're sorry it wasn't a better year and that we weren't better persons. We regret that we didn't follow Christ more faithfully, but we pray that we'll do better in the coming year and that we'll be more responsible stewards of our relationship to you. Help us to spend more time being quiet and knowing that you are God. Help us to be more loving to our neighbors and to our enemies. Help us to live more generously, sharing with others the many gifts you have entrusted to our care. Teach us to behave justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you. Friends, it's time to remember our baptism and to be thankful. Thanks be to God. Amen.